Good morning. I count it a privilege to speak before you today and introduce services. I've been praying for union. I'm happy to be here as a member and a servant of God. And my pervasive prayer for the church has been that we follow Romans chapter 1 and 8, where Paul says to the church of Rome that your faith is spoken of throughout the entire world. And through the video ministry, we're actually able to do that. We've talked about folks in other countries that have tuned in to our live broadcast. So never underestimate your ability to work for the kingdom of God and to dwell there and to have an impact on somebody you may not have ever met before. And never underestimate this church as just somewhere you go, just somewhere where you pay your Sunday morning dues and go on and watch the football game or whatever you're going to do later. This is the kingdom of God, which in scriptural terms is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not heaven. It's peace and joy right now. Before I sit down, I'm not going to take very, very long. I'm not going to take a long time. I want to call back to something we were learning in our Bible study. We're in the book of Romans right now, and it's been a long 20-year journey, just about, in the entire Bible from Genesis 1:1 to the point where we're at now. And we spoke on justification, and I believe that's a very appropriate topic for all of us to know. And some of you might hear that word, and it might be scary to you at first. You might go, well, that's a big theologic term. I don't know what that means. Can you be more specific? You know, I don't have a theology degree, neither do I. But justification, in layman's terms, is a legal term, which means to make righteous. And the mistake that many of us might, you know, fall into or might hear from the internet or from our studies is we lump them all together when we talk about the who, what, why, when, where, why, and how. That's my journalistic training coming out. You need to know that for a story, and you need to know that for justification. Who and what is being justified? That's always the children of God. Where and when and why and how may differentiate, and I hope to briefly go through that before I sit down. I'm starting in Romans chapter 5 to talk about the first justification, which is by blood, by Christ shed blood for his people. And I'm going to start in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in the time, Christ died for the ungodly. So while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us, because he loved us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That is the when and where and the why and how. We are saved by his blood from his wrath, meaning by his blood we are justified in the sight of God as a child of God, and we will be together with him. Think of the crucifixion and Christ dying and suffering on the mountain of Calvary, knowing that he will be separated from God, as the psalmist in Psalm 22 prophesied, the bulls of Bashan have gathered around me, and my bones are broken. Not one bone did they break. And he said, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but it means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ was forsaken from the Father in that time. He was separated from the Father. God the Father could not look upon him because he can't look upon sin. And he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So because in that time frame, Christ, God could not look upon his only begotten Son, he can look upon us with love and mercy. That's the why, and that's the reasoning behind that. That's the only justification we need. That covers our sin debt. That covers our soul. That covers our eternal life. Every justification is a covering, but that's the covering we need right for eternity. Now, and there's also couple coverings we need right here and now, and that's justification by faith, which is a very popular theological term, and then justification by works. People lump them all together and think, well, we're justified by Christ's blood, we're justified by our faith, and we're justified by works before God, and that's how we become a child of God. And that's not the case. You have to list out the context. You have to list out the proper time and place, the proper setting. And we back up a little bit in Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I know that's not the beginning of the thought, but this illustrates the point. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's what we just talked about, justification by blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works. Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It's a declaration. You are declaring that you acknowledge that Christ is Christ's righteousness. You are the justifier of him. You purge your conscience of guilt or doubt or skepticism, and you, by your acknowledgement of faith, which we cannot do by our own intellect or emotions or anything within us. That needs to be instilled in us by regeneration of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the distinctions between primitive Baptists and other Baptists, is we believe in Holy Spirit-only regeneration. We don't believe the preaching does that quickening. We don't believe the knowledge justifies that quickening. We believe it's only by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has to put it in you first before you can bring it out. But that's how you justify your conscience. It covers your conscience before God, just like baptism right back there. I was baptized over 10 years ago right behind me in that very pool right there. And when I did that, it was not the putting away the filth of the flesh. I'm still a sinner. Brother Jackson is still a sinner, and humbly so, I admit that. But it was the answer of my conscience toward God. My conscience towards God at the time was to join Crossroads Primitive Baptist Church in Woodstock, Georgia, and to humble myself in service to the Lord. That was justification by faith. I had faith, and I was justified in the sight of men, in my peers, and in my fellow churchgoers, and I was justified in myself. I was at peace. And that's the peace that Christ gives. Peace I give unto you. He doesn't offer it. He doesn't put it on a fishing hook and dangle it in front of a string and, you know, you got to grab it. No, he gives it to you. He hands it to you, much like you would give a loved one a gift. He hands it to you because he loves you. He loves his children, and he gives them that desire to have faith. Last one is justification by works. Now, we know we're not saved by works. No works can get us into heaven. And we know that we're going to sin here in this life. We're not going to be perfect. You know, the Pelagianism theory that once you're a Christian, you never sin. That's a lie. We have an ongoing battle with our sins. But we're justified by our works in a way. In that when Abraham offered his son Isaac, or he was going to offer his son Isaac, and he found a ram with his horns caught in the bush, and he burned that sacrifice. It was a sweet savor unto God, and he believed God. He believed that God would spare him and his son, and that he would provide a sacrifice, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. James chapter 2 says it was imputed. It was given. It was given that value of righteousness. It's like if I had a store, and I was selling something, and I said, this costs $5, or this costs $10, this costs $20. That's the value I put on a good. And that's justification by works. It's the value that's being put on that. It's the worth that's being attributed to such item or such work. And when we believe in God and when we follow his will, the value of that is righteousness. But it's righteousness in that it's obeying God, doing what we're supposed to do and before men. And to clear our reputation, it covers how we're viewed by men. And going through the various qualifications of an elder, for an example, the last one is he shall have a good report of them that are without. Meaning those that are without, they may hate our beliefs. They may hate everything we stand for, but if you live a righteous life to the best of your ability, they can't really say anything bad about you. Okay, you know, I don't like what Brother Jackson stands for. In fact, I hate it. I despise it. I will not follow it. It's not my thing. But because he lives his life in such a way, I've got to concede that he's the real deal. He is a good example of a Christian. He has a clean report. He checks out. So there's a difference there. There are distinctive differences in each of the three justifications: blood, faith, and works. We trust in the one that already happened, the one that's in the past. The shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was more of a sweet savor than any burnt sacrifice or any work of righteousness we can do. But we have our peace through faith. We strive for faith. That's the reason we're here today, is to express our faith in praise and honor and glory and gratitude to our God. And we strive for justification by works. We walk in newness of life. We have a new purpose. We're not walking in accordance to our will. We just sang a song, which I had on my mind last night. So I love that it was called "Prince of Peace, Control My Will." That's what we strive to be as we walk the narrow path, which is very rare. You know, it is very hard to walk, and there's not a lot of folks with you sometimes. You might get discouraged that the church is small or that there's not a lot of people that agree with me out here. But that's the light that we're striving for. We trust in the Lord to control our will. And with that, I will humbly lead you in prayer and take it to Brother Marty to lead us as he sees fit. Our righteous God, Lord, help Union Church. Help this body here, and help my feeble tongue in whatever I said to be edifying to the saints. And we trust now that you will be with us and that your spirit is here at this place. And now lift up Brother Marty on wings like eagles to renew his strength as he leads this body as humbly as he knows how in the sight of you, O God. We're thankful for you and your Son and his living sacrifice on behalf of our sins that is finished. And we will forever honor and glorify thee until the day of thy coming, when we see thee face to face. And it's in your name that we humbly pray. Amen.